Yet another reason for disaster aid.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. In the past year, Mother Nature has exacted a huge toll in terms of lives, communities, and money. The latest example, Saturday's 7.6 earthquake in Pakistan. At least 20,000 people are believed dead. Millions are homeless. Pakistani President Pervez Musharraf appealed to the world for help. This morning, the White House authorized $50 million in aid. The U.S. and other countries have also sent supplies. U.S. Treasury Secretary John Snow is visiting Asia this week. He arrives in China tomorrow. At the top of his agenda, pushing China to make its currency, the yuan, more flexible. The Bush administration blames the yuan for the huge trade gap between the two countries. Marketplace's Alisa Roth has more.
If the yuan were allowed to trade freely, Chinese exports to the U.S. would be more expensive, and American imports to China would be cheaper. University of Maryland economist Peter Morisi says the effects of a freely traded currency could extend beyond China.
It would eliminate a good portion of our trade deficit because we would expect other Asian economies to follow suit with their currencies.
Many say China manipulates its currency on purpose to maintain a trade imbalance. But Steve Hanke, an economist at Johns Hopkins, thinks the currency issue is just another way for the U.S. to bash China.
Secretary Snow has never defined what currency manipulation even is in the first place. So this is all politics of the highest order.
University of Maryland's Morisi thinks it's unlikely Snow will resolve anything definite this week. In New York, I'm Alisa Roth for Marketplace.
Unless you have an incredible amount of spare time, I doubt you've given this much thought, but plastic is everywhere. It's in our cars, our homes, workplaces. Certain plastic additives are also in our bodies. That sounds a little dangerous, doesn't it? Well, today the government opens a three-day hearing to talk about just how dangerous. Helen Palmer reports from the health desk at WGBH.
At issue are chemical compounds known as phthalates, additives which make plastics more flexible. Michael Shelby with the National Institute for Environmental Health Sciences says they're everywhere, in building materials, automobiles, clothing, cosmetics.
It's found in food packaging, children's toys, and a variety of medical devices.
Tim Kropp of the Watchdog Environmental Working Group says scientists have known for years that phthalates damage reproduction in rodents.
But what is making this such a big deal now is that a lot of those findings are being confirmed in humans.
Environmentalists say there are alternatives the plastics industry could use. The industry counters that nothing is as good or cheap as phthalates. In Boston, I'm Helen Palmer for Marketplace.
We knew it was coming, but Saturday, Delphi made it official. The nation's largest auto supplier filed for bankruptcy. It's one of the biggest filings in the country's history. Delphi has more than 50,000 employees in the U.S., and many expect layoffs and plant closures. After a really bad week, Wall Street saw some small gains Friday. The Dow closed up 5 points, 10,292. The S&P 500 climbed 4 to 1195. The NASDAQ was up 6 to close at 2090. The markets are closed today for Columbus Day. You're listening to Marketplace. The price of gold keeps climbing, and so does the environmental hazard from mining it. A group of indigenous people will trek from D.C. to Nevada starting today to draw attention to the problem. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
For every ounce of gold mined, an estimated 79 tons of toxic waste are produced. Oxfam policy advisor Keith Slack says the booming gold market has taken an environmental toll.
With the increased price of gold, mining companies are looking for new places to find that gold.
Those new places often belong to native peoples in countries like Guatemala and Bolivia. Now half of newly mined gold is from indigenous lands. Slack says working with the locals is in the company's interest.
Increasingly, community relations problems that mining companies are facing are affecting their ability to operate.
Slack says many indigenous people are not opposed to mining. They just want it to be environmentally sound. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Which comes to you from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management. HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Toyota, designing vehicles with hybrid synergy drive for fuel efficiency and low emissions. More at Toyota.com. Toyota, moving forward.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Whether it's a good thing or not, fear often drives the markets. And lately, investors have been acting almost petrified about inflation. Wall Street's off to a horrendous start for the fourth quarter. I asked Newsweek Wall Street editor Alan Sloan whether those fears are founded.
They're right to be spooked, but I think they're being spooked actually for the wrong reason, as long as you want an interpretation.
Okay, what's the reason?
This all has to do with what energy prices are doing to the economy. And if you add a dollar to the price of gasoline and put a huge increase on natural gas and diesel fuel and all of these things, life gets very expensive for a lot of companies and they pass it on. That's what the inflation is. If I were actually worrying, I would be worrying about not so much inflation, but about how this is going to kick the economy in a very vulnerable spot and might well slow it down or maybe even send it into recession. It's like a $200 or $300 billion drag on the economy.
But on a day-to-day basis, we're seeing the Dow drop 100 points or so, and oil prices are dropping a couple of bucks on the same day. So how do you explain that?
My answer, as always, about Wall Street is the concept of a long-term outlook on Wall Street is, what am I having for lunch? And, I mean, Wall Street is a trading mechanism. Stuff trades. It goes up. It goes down on a day-to-day basis. And people like us who are, after all, in the news business, we look at every little move, and every little move has to have some meaning. There has to be a well-thought-out reason for everything, and there isn't a well-thought-out reason for everything. People react, especially on Wall Street, where the idea is to get ahead of the trend and make money. Strategic thinking, there are people who do strategic thinking on Wall Street, but they're not the people who move stock prices on a day-to-day basis.
So are you suggesting that the way Wall Street is acting right now is a sign of what's to come, is an indicator?
Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of a long-term optimist, but a short-term skeptic. I'm very optimistic that in the end, this country can overcome anything because it's done it for 200 years. No matter how foolishly we behave at some points, we manage to dig ourselves out of it. But in the short term, I mean, look around. You got these energy costs. You've got interest rates that are clearly going to go up. The Fed is practically taking out ads saying we're going to raise short-term interest rates some more. Long-term interest rates are finally look like they're moving up again. Life is going to get more expensive for a lot of people. And if life is more expensive for making your mortgages and paying your credit card and heating your home and driving your car, well, there's less to spend on other things. I mean, even I know that. And I'm a mere recovering English major.
Alan Sloan's Wall Street editor for Newsweek. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
Unemployed, uninsured, and broke.